Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. Stephen Colbert says, good news, the Brooklyn subway shooting suspect has been arrested. That's nice, that's fast. The suspect's name is Frank R. James. Authorities know this because a credit card with Mr. James' name on it had been found at the scene of the shooting, as had a key to the van Mr. James had rented. He also left a check swab, a filled out tax return, and his SoulCycle emergency contact. Very generous of him. One of the unusual facts about the shooter is that he's 62 years old, which means technically he wasn't on the run. He was on the mall walk. It's unfortunate that James left behind plenty of evidence because none of the station security cameras were in full operation at the time of the shooting. Well, that's what the MTA gets for hiring the same guy who did the cameras in Jeffrey Epstein's cell. That's great. Trevor Noah tagged in and said, really? Out of 10,000 cameras in the subway system, the only three that weren't working are the ones that could have helped? Really? That's a crazy stroke of bad luck if it were true. Colbert, it does explain the new subway safety posters. If you see something, that's cool. We didn't. Trevor, let's not get hung up on the details. The important thing is those cameras cost New York taxpayers $800,000 each. Don't forget that. That's all that matters. So it was interesting to me and surprising to me. There's been like a lot less discussion of Gilbert than I thought there would be, especially compared to both the passing of Norm Macdonald and Bob Saget. So I was thinking about this. I guess Saget being on the sitcom really elevated him to another level of national prominence. Me looking at this through a comedy lens, I think Gilbert is the bigger comedian. And I think part of that is because I heard so much of Gilbert on Howard Stern. Now, on tomorrow's episode of the podcast, I'm just going to do Gilbert Gottfried stories. Sunday will be a normal episode. But there's so many great stories, so many good articles about Gilbert. I'm going to do that all episode tomorrow. And the Laugh Button recapped Gilbert's best appearances on the Howard Stern show. So I'm looking forward to diving in on that. It's up on the Laugh Button if you want to read it today. I also enjoyed this note I got from listener Tommy. Now, yesterday, I put in a review from 1991 of a Gilbert Gottfried show that the reviewer did not like. Tommy said, I think I may have been at that show in 91. If it's the same one, I was laughing so hard at that opening bit, I literally couldn't catch my breath and I thought I might pass out. He then checked with his friend, who also goes by Johnny Mac, so obviously a cool dude. The other Johnny Mac said, yep, they were at that show. That is amazing. I mean, think about it. You listen to some like dopey comedy podcast, some idiot in his basement. It's not the biggest podcast in the world. And I mentioned a show from 31 years ago and you happen to be at it. That's pretty cool. Tommy, thank you for listening and thank you for sending me the email. Amy Schumer says, the Secret Service reached out to me. Amy said she got death threats over a skit she performed at the Oscars. This the one where she made fun of Kirsten Dunst, dismissing her as just a seat filler as she talked to her husband Jesse Plemons. Although it was planned in advance, some thought she was being so rude she deserved to be threatened. Jeez. Amy went on with Howard Stern and said, I did a bit with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons that was completely orchestrated beforehand. The joke was that I was pretending that I thought she was a seat filler, and we all worked that out together. I got death threats. The Secret Service reached out to me. Howard interrupted. Wait, I'm not understanding. Why did you get death threats? Amy, they were like, who do you think you are to disrespect Kirsten Dunst like that? Amy added, both the Secret Service and the LAPD told her the threats were serious. She added, I actually did reach out to people I was going to joke about before to make sure it was okay with them, because I've been burned too many times. I didn't want the camera to cut to somebody looking sad or, you know, walking up to the stage and slapping you in the face. Speaking of which, Amy said, the reason Chris Rock could stand there and get hit in the face and then stay up there with composure and give his friend Questlove an Oscar is because he's a comedian. Everything that you're afraid of happens to you while you're on stage, and then you're just desensitized, so you're not shocked by anything. Howard wondered why Will Smith was allowed to collect his Oscar after having, quote, just assaulted Chris Rock. Amy said, I just thought, and maybe this is bad, I was in an abusive relationship years ago. Will Smith must be in so much pain. I felt bad for him, too. That's probably not the right instinct, but... she added, as all the buzz around the show has been about Will Smith and not the winners or the fact that three women hosted for the first time, it was just upsetting as a person. She also talked about her own hair-pulling disorder, trichotillomania, I hope I pronounced that right, she said, and an added layer, and another reason I was triggered was because it was all about Jada's hair, hair loss. Growing up, not anymore. If somebody talked about my hair, it was the biggest fear of my life. I'm sure that was a big deal for their family. Schumer said Chris Rock gave her advice before hosting the Oscars. He's the best. I love him so much. He was like, you're Amy effing Schumer. He kept encouraging me and firing me up, noting how especially challenging it is to be a woman in the industry because women aren't respected for past success and people act like you've done nothing. We've kind of known about this, but it is now official. The Kids in the Hall are coming back. Dave Foley tweeted, "The show your grandparents wouldn't let your parents watch is back." That's funny. Dave adds, "Filming has begun on the Kids in the Hall 8-episode Amazon original series in Toronto." He added, "Photographic proof that we can still occupy the same physical space. I'm looking forward to that." Netflix released the trailer for David Spade's upcoming special. In the trailer, we learn that Spade will fire up the audience with a self-depreciating humor, starting out with admitting that he's a jerky face for not wanting to hug people. But honestly, after surviving a global pandemic, can you blame him? Fist bump, fist bump. Spade will also tackle a topic we can all relate to, getting old and trying to keep up with Gen Z trends, even though we don't really want to. An example of a trend? Vaping. From Deadline, the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist, which saw more than $14 million of Quebec's national maple syrup reserves stolen a decade ago. That's a thing that apparently happened. Canadians are like, yeah, everybody knows that. Apparently. Big deal. And it's the basis for a new comedy series with a great name. It's called The Sticky. The Sticky revolves around Ruth Clark, a tough, supremely competent, middle-aged Canadian maple syrup farmer who's had it with being hemmed in by the polite bureaucratic conventions native to her country's identity, especially now that the very bureaucracy is threatening to take away everything she loves, her farm, her comatose husband, and her right to manifest destiny, with the help of Remy Bouchard, a pint-sized local blockhead, and an aging Mike Byrne, a low-level mobster. Ruth changes her fate and transforms the future of her community with the theft of millions of dollars worth of maple syrup. I'll watch. Hey, congratulations to Mark Maron. One of his podcasts is going to make the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry, something that is never, ever going to happen to this podcast. I can tell you that. Which episode? It's an interview with Robin Williams. The Library of Congress said the episode featured a startling, intimate conversation with Robin Williams. It also credits the WTF podcast with helping to legitimize the podcast as a media format and created an idiosyncratic document of this moment of American culture. Wow, Mark Maron, high five. That is just like unbelievable high praise. Speaking of Maron's podcast, this reminds me, he re-released his interview with Gilbert Gottfried, who I'm going to talk about in the second half. Fantastic. Go listen to that. Stop listening to me. Turn it off right now. Go listen to Maron, okay? That's how good that is. Gossip Corner gets more and more ridiculous from page 6. Kim Kardashian appears to Photoshop Pete Davidson's nose and jawline. Sure, I'll read it. Why not? Just one day after Khloe Kardashian admitted to Photoshopping her daughter into pictures snapped at Disneyland, Kim Kardashian is facing accusations of editing Pete Davidson's appearance, okay? An account called Problematic Fame focuses on exposing how Instagram can impact beauty standards, shared a photo of Pete Davidson looking to the side on SNL alongside a close-up of the comedian in Kim's post. It has been suggested that Pete's nose and neck have been altered. However, page 6 has a source, an insider, as it were. I don't know what this insider is. Who is this insider? Is this insider sitting next to Kim all day going, no, Kim didn't do that. The insider says Pete's nose and neck appearance were not altered in any way. The image shown in the side-by-side shows his face at a different angle. He's smiling larger, so it can't be an apple-to-apples comparison. Page 6 has also seen the original version of the photo in question, which is actually a live snap, they point out, and nothing has been altered. So stop accusing Kim Kardashian of photoshopping Pete Davidson pictures. Reps for Pete and Kim did not return page 6's request for comment. So when I was out west recently, I recorded a whole bunch of episodes of my travel podcast, which is called Travel is Back. Episode 34 has now been released. It's me at the Hoover Dam. If you want to hear me walking around the Hoover Dam and finding out what I found out, Travel is Back, wherever you get your shows. Vulture interviewed Gilbert Gottfried back in 2019. They found it interesting that Jerry Seinfeld had not had Gilbert Gottfried on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Vulture supposed, I gather that Jerry never liked the impression you did of him. Gilbert said, I used to go up on stage and just F around. I would do stuff where the audience would scratch their heads. I've heard they used to put me on to clear the audience out at the end of the night, but I'd imitate other comics, which would make the other comics and the waitstaff laugh. I used to imitate Jerry a lot. Remember back then, Seinfeld was just another comic hanging around the clubs just waiting to go on at 3 in the morning. He'd never been on TV. And sometimes I'd go on and like start doing jokes in Seinfeld's voice. The other comics and the people who worked there would be cracking up. The audience would be scratching their heads. And Seinfeld would be outpacing angrily back and forth. And then Godfrey did a Seinfeld, I'll do a very half-ass one. I don't sound anything like that. Did it tick him off? I'd like to think it did. Vulture was fascinated. So I guess we know why I haven't been on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Gilbert, I mean, I can't imagine he has the time to hate people like I do. I think when Jerry Seinfeld is angry at someone, he gets over it by wiping his butt with a fistful of $100 bills. Bill Maher was on with Jimmy Kimmel and said Gilbert was expected to appear at his New Year's show in Hawaii. He was looking forward to getting to know Gilbert on a more personal level. I've known him for 40 years, never knew him well. He was a hard guy to get to know well. I mean, he was so funny and always on. See, I disagree. I met Gilbert a few times. He was not always on. Bill Maher, have you ever met Gilbert Gottfried? Should I get into a whistling match with Bill Maher? He was not always on. I defy you to bring me five comedians who will tell us that Gilbert was always on. He was not always on. Dude, come on. Gilbert in the hallway. I mentioned this all week. Soft-spoken, meek might even be a word I'd use. He was not walking around sounding like the Affleck duck. He was very quiet. If you pay enough attention and listen to enough episodes of Gilbert's podcast, you'll hear the real Gilbert every now and then. Anyway, Maher said, there are people I know for an hour that I feel like I know better than I know Gilbert. But I thought, here's the time. That's what the Hawaii trip was for. Are you just self-promoting? Jimmy Kimmel shared the same sentiments of Gilbert always being on and noted, it always made me feel kind of odd when I would ask him a question. He would never give a real answer in a way. I felt like the message was, why would I answer this seriously when I could be funny right now? Yes, Gilbert was always on when he was on a show. He was an entertainer, but he wasn't always on. Should I get into a whistling match with Bill Maher and Jimmy Kimmel? That'd be good for the podcast. Who was this jerk in the basement saying, Maher went on to describe Gilbert Gottfried as the king of too soon. Maher said he felt good knowing that he managed to give Gilbert a shout out during a recent airing of Real Time. I don't think he was probably able to hear it, but you know, if I were a religious person, I would say, you know, he kind of knows, but I'm not, so screw that. I think Bill Maher is promoting himself using Gilbert Gottfried. Anyway, that recap from The Hollywood Reporter. I think I forgot to mention that, and I want to keep good form. Kelly Rizzo is Bob Saget's widow. She paid tribute to Bob Saget's friendship with Gilbert. On social media, she wrote, Bob loved Gilbert so dearly. They had a special friendship. She shared a group photo of Bob, Gilbert, Norm Macdonald, and Jeffrey Ross, sending my love to wonderful friend Jeff, as Gilbert's loss is beyond painful for him. Thinking of Dara, his amazing and strong wife right now, much love and support to his family. All right, let's see who's at Moon Tower tonight. I won't read all the locations, but Joel Kim Booster is there. Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher again. They're at 7. Sashir Zamata at 9:30. Andrew Santino and Brian Simpson are doing the Bad Friends podcast at 9:30. Donnell Rawlings wraps up the night at 11:30. There's a lot of shows, too. I by no means read them all. A lot of local comics as part of Moon Tower, which is pretty cool. Since tomorrow is all Gilbert, let me tell you about Saturday night show. Natasha and Moshe again at 5. That's pretty early. Donnell Rawlings at 7. Jimmy O. Yang. Oh, if you're not on board with Jimmy O. Yang's comedy, go watch him on, I think his special is on Amazon. I like what he's doing a lot. He's at 7. And a whole bunch of other shows. It's all on austintheater.org if you want to skim it yourself. No shows on Sunday, which is interesting. Meanwhile, down at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, William Wong, and I loved his special. I think that one was on Netflix. Definitely check that out. Melbournebeat.com says, William flew all the way from China to Australia 5 years ago with the dream of doing stand-up comedy. His goal is to provide a fresh angle and perspective on culture differences, taking a cheeky look at Eastern versus Western ways of life. He's based in Brisbane and frequently performs in Melbourne and Adelaide. Jenny Tian is also at Melbourne tonight. Jenny says she's the nicest person in comedy. She gives lifts home, is never short of compliments, is always up for a bit of banter, but that doesn't mean she's nice on stage. Don't be surprised by her sweet demeanor. She'll cut you down if you deserve it. Straight up delivery, no Fs given attitude. Jenny will get you laughing at things you've never laughed at before, like Ultimate Frisbee. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you would like the show without commercials, become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. $5 a month gets you that. And I release the episodes a little early as soon as I finish the edit. I just published them for the premium subscribers. See you tomorrow. We'll do Gilbert tomorrow. Bye.